Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adusk, and this is Financial Survival for Wednesday, 14th day of January, year of our Lord, 2015. Our guest today is Greg Hunter. He'll be joining the show in about 8 minutes. In the meantime, here's the market reports. Gold is down $1.60 to $1,230.30. Silver's down 25 cents to $16.95 per ounce. Platinum's down $8 to $1,237. And palladium, I don't know what happened to palladium. It's down $41 today. That's 5%. I have no idea why. Something strange. Palladium is off 5%. And it's down $41 to $778 per ounce. Take a look at the paper markets. Dow Jones was down over 300 points earlier in the day. They've come back to where they're still down about 181 points. NASDAQ is down 22. Well, let me give you, Dow Jones is off about 181 points to 17,433 points. NASDAQ is down 22 points to 4,039. New York Stock Exchange is off 53 points to 10,570. U.S. dollar index is down 0.19 to 92.06. And crude oil. This is, who would have thunk it? Crude oil is up $2.45 to $48.34 per barrel. Now, that's interesting to me because we actually broke below $45 per barrel here just in the last day or so, but only briefly. It didn't close at that price. But it, you know, it's too early to say for sure, but perhaps 45 is the bottom. Not going to bet on it. I'm not going to be surprised if crude oil continues to fall lower. There are some people that are betting on futures where crude oil will get down below $30 a barrel. I don't expect to see that myself, but who can say? It is surprising to me. Crude oil is up $2.45 today, and palladium is down $41. Just an interesting world, certain amount of randomness in it, and perhaps even meaning. We are getting close to, let me see if we have, if Greg Hunter has been, is he available yet, Frank? Frank may or may not have called him. Nope, not on the line yet. So I have to talk. I have to find something to talk about for the next several minutes. So let's talk about the slowdown in China, bruises economy in Latin America, and this is from the New York Times. And the argument here is simply few people are as intensely worried about the slowing Chinese economy as Latin Americans. And they go on and they point out the relationship between China and Latin America, the economic relationships. And the point behind the article is that the whole world is increasingly interconnected and interdependent. And this is a function of globalism, which we have wealthy people running multinational corporations that are paying other people to promote the idea that global free trade is some sort of a great blessing. I don't believe that. All right? I think there's a problem with global free trade. When we knock down our tariff barriers, global free trade certainly is bad news for countries like the United States of America because it has an adverse impact on our employment. Without tariffs to essentially prevent cheap foreign goods from entering this country, we're losing. It's one of the factors that contributes to significant unemployment in this country and even corporate bankruptcies and people going out of business and whatever. And people say, oh, this is great. We're going to have global free trade. There is no way that global free trade can finally serve the best interests of the people of the United States of America because it's going to cost us jobs. It's going to cost us income. It's going to diminish our standard of living. If we're going to compete with cheap Chinese labor, inevitably, our standard of living, our wages are going to have to fall in the direction of the cheap Chinese labor. We're not going to get down to that level, but that's the implication. So this article is about the interrelationship between China and Latin America. And they're right. And maybe it's better. You know, people are against nationalism, or at least the New World Order doesn't want any nationalism. They don't want you to take care of your country, your state, or your community. They want all of this to be just one big homogenized, I don't know, milkshake of a global economy where we're all in the same economy together. And if we are, to the extent we're interconnected, it means that if one nation has a serious problem, that problem is going to work. We're going to be more like that field of dominoes that you see on a basketball court. Each nation is now a domino, and if one topples, it may topple all of them. This business of globalism is dangerous. It's contrary to our best interests, and you need to watch out for it. You can't just accept the idea from your congressman, your senator, your president that globalism is good for you. Globalism is good for the people that run multinational corporations and are able to build things in one country where labor is cheap and sell them in another country that still has enough wages where they can make enough wealth, where they can make exorbitant profits selling the products. It ultimately will impoverish everyone except those people associated with the multinational corporations. Greg Hunter is on the line, and where am I? Greg is he's the man behind USAWatchdog.com. He hosts remarkable interviews, really remarkable interviews. He manages to recruit people who are knowledgeable and controversial to speak on his program, and he gets some really remarkable admissions from these people and insights. And for example, now here's one that goes back, where this goes back to November, but it's still an extraordinary interview. He talked to Rob Kirby, and Mr. Kirby, he alleged that in Asia, the price of gold in large quantities, being sold in large quantities, there might be a 50% premium on it in Asia. Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine. Have you had opportunity to confirm, deny, refute Rob Kirby's analysis on your program or claim that the gold was, in some instances, selling for up to 50% premium in Asia?
He stood by that. He says not all deals, but some deals.
Uh-huh.
We're talking tonnage now. We're not talking about I found a bar at a store. We're talking about tonnage. No. We're talking about big plays. He is a guy that ranges big plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can find it on the internet. Yeah. Okay. That's right. You couldn't find it on the internet. I don't get my news from the internet. Sometimes I actually have people out here making news. And, you know, not everything is posted on the internet. If you're overpaying for gold, I mean, it's just overpaying for what the paper spot price is. It tells me that people are quietly panicking into it. And the reason why they would do that in the face of deflation is because of collateral. You know, we've been told that bonds are collateral. Bonds.
Yeah.
Are a store of value. And if, of course, if rates go up, you know, that's, you know, and the collateral gets corrupted and derivatives, you know, mess things up, you know, we'll find out that that's not true, that bonds, that debt is collateral. That's what they're saying. We've also been told that debt is money. We're going to find out neither is true in today's special circumstances, that neither is true, that, you know, all this debt on the books is being held as collateral. Think about that. Think of collateral. Think of, well, we'll put this up for collateral. We'll put these bonds up for collateral. We'll put mortgage-backed securities. What happened with mortgage-backed securities? Nobody trusted the mortgage-backed security bonds. Nobody trusted the collateral. Oh, well, they're backed by houses. Well, they're backed by houses with no equity in them is what happened. You know, we're backed by houses where people could take out all the equity in a house, in a home equity line. You know, I had a local bank here tell me that they had 90, I'm not going to disclose it, but, you know, this is several years ago, disclosed that, you know, that they had $90 million in mortgage-backed securities. And I said, well, there's no public market. People don't realize that there's no public market. If you want to sell part of that tranches of debt, you have to get on the phone to call Bob in Dallas or Mary Jane in New York, or you have to call somebody, and it's a peer-to-peer, you-to-me issuance, which means there are no public markets, which means there are no standards. There are no regulations. There are no guarantees. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why.
Oh,
that's why when you buy something on the Chicago Board of Trade, you say, "Hey, I want to get X amount of tons of corn." They can't mix beans in there. They can't say, "Wow, this is really light. Let's get the water hose and stick the water in this." They can't do that. Why? Why can't they sell you beans? Mix up beans and corn, stick some dirt in there. Why can't they do that?
Well, it would be fraud
because
for one
thing. There are standards. There's regulations.
Yeah.
There's good delivery standards. There are regulations. There are rules. Okay? Well, there are no. Imagine now take a look at the hundreds of trillions of dollars. Well, I don't know. The Bank of International Settlement says there's, let's just use the official number, a quadrillion, a thousand trillion.
Many derivatives?
Say it's more. Derivatives, a quadrillion.
Yep.
Now, many people say it's more. And so people think that they have insurance, that they have derivatives, that they have equity, and what can happen when nobody trusts the equity? We're back to the mortgage-backed securities. We're back to the derivatives. We're back to all that. When that happened in 2008, that's why credit seized up. That's why the U.S. government had to back, everything. That's why we printed out $16 trillion and handed it out to everybody all over the world. Nobody trusted the collateral.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to, it's a deflation. Deflation is the destruction of debt. Oh, you mean those bonds they're using as collateral? And
here's the big problem with this. In this debt-based monetary system, we can look back and we can say, maybe the government can't pay the national debt. And the average person is going to say, well, big deal. What do I care?
Well,
the reason it's important is one man's debt is another man's asset. And if we cancel $16 trillion in national debt for whatever reason, we also wipe out $16 trillion in paper assets.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
And that's the, the deflationists are saying that, well, you know, all that stuff gets destroyed. What, it, oh, really? So you're going to, so it gets, okay, it can get destroyed. So according to John Williams, at least $16 trillion in liquid dollar assets, treasury bonds, bills, cash, is held outside the United States. So what are you going to tell all those people that, oh, that's no good, sorry.
Yeah, sorry about
yeah,
that, folks.
It.
You
they
just lost $16 trillion. And so, and incidentally, so did you folks in the United States. This goes to pension funds. It goes to savings accounts, banks,
ding.
And God knows where it all goes. But
ding,
when
ding,
you
ding,
wipe
yes,
out the
ding,
debt,
ding.
You wipe out the correlative assets. And all of a sudden,
right.
People, they got
the
pieces
collateral.
Of paper. I'm a millionaire. I got a piece of paper that says I'm a millionaire. No, you don't. You got nothing but a promise to pay. You have an IOU, and it is only good if the guy who signed it is able to make good on his payments. And if he can't, and that's where we're headed right now,
and
guess what?
Times,
you got a piece of paper.
That works. In good times, that works. That worked in the 90s, man. That worked.
Yeah,
that
I understand.
You, in bad times, that don't work. We're going to find out. Again, we've been told debt is money. And debt is collateral, and we're going to find out neither is true.
I know. How soon? There's the
question. Federal Reserve note. Oh, Federal Reserve note. That's a debt instrument, like a promissory note.
That's all it is. IOU.
It's a, and you can't. You know, you can't, it's, and they can default on the notes.
And if they do, though, you wipe out the asset, and that's the danger. If you, you know, in the Bible, they have a. In the Old Testament, they had a jubilee every 50 years where they wiped out all the debt.
Was it 50 or 7?
I thought it was 50. My understanding is 50. But regardless of how many years are in there, they wipe out the debt periodically. That wasn't a bad thing, and it didn't really hurt their economy because the money was still in an asset form. You can wipe out the debt. For example, I might borrow $1,000 from you. Okay, and we get to the jubilee, and we cancel that debt. All right, but the money I borrowed was not a debt instrument. I borrowed assets, like chunks of silver, chunks of gold. That asset
cattle,
was still in the economy.
Houses, land.
I might not have it anymore. You might not have it anymore. There's a little bit of a problem there. The creditor loses, but the money, the tangible money, is still in the economy, which means the economy, we've just prevented an accumulation of capital. We've prevented somebody from getting too rich for the whole economy and for the whole nation to bear. But the money is still there. If in the monetary system we have today, which is not based on assets, if the debt disappears, so do the assets. You can't have a jubilee. You can't cancel the debt without putting the country in a depression. Or worse.
And that's what credit default swaps are. They were, oh, I'm going to take some risky stuff, but I'm going to buy an insurance policy, and I'm going to transfer my risk, AIG. I'm going to transfer my risk to AIG. That's great until the person you transferred your risk to can't pay that policy. That works great until the person is asked to perform and can't.
Yeah, it just becomes, it's an enormous Ponzi scheme, and mathematically it has to break down, and the only question is when. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'll be back with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com on financial survival. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3333. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010. Or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg will be with us in just a moment. I want to remind you that Melody has a special discount gold and silver, $25 face value, 90% silver for $370. This includes shipping costs. Again, $25 face value, 90% silver coins for $370, and it includes shipping costs. Give Melody a call at 1-800-375-4188. The office is open now. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. Greg Hunter and I have been talking about, what's going on in the economy and how bizarre, crazy, and even self-destructive it is to go into a fiat currency, because inevitably you run out of greater fools. It's a Ponzi scheme, and when you do, then the whole thing collapses. It turns into a terrible situation. You interviewed a man named Charles Nenner just in the last couple of days, today perhaps. Yeah, and he is predicting that there will be a major war exploding soon.
Yes, and I'll give you the thumbnail of his. Of course, I'm not Charles Nenner because he's brilliant, but I'll give you the dumbed down Greg Hunter version. And that is, if you look back 100 years, you look back to World War One, and then you really that was a major war. But really, World War One and World War Two, the beginning of a major war, is 1914, 1915. The U.S. got dragged in 1917, I think. I'm close, but anyway. You know, it really was World War One and World War Two were one war with about 20-year peace between them. So it was a major war. And when he says major war, he talks about big body counts, lots of death. I mean, he had said that if you take a look at Iraq and Afghanistan, they're not major wars. I mean, they're painful and they're destructive, and we spent a lot on them. But when you talk about major wars in terms of body counts, we didn't have millions like just in the Russians alone fighting the Germans in World War II, lost 27 million. I heard a couple of numbers, but 27 million from a Russian that sent me and corrected me when I said 20 million, but it's a big number.
Yeah.
Imagine America losing 20 million people in a war today.
Ever.
Yes.
Ever. We've never seen anything like that in this country. Even in the Civil War was nothing to compare, and that was our most deadly conflict, but even that does not compare to 20 million.
Relative to the size of our country, it was, was pretty big. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Civil War was a big problem. I don't doubt. I'm not denying that. But in raw numbers, it wasn't.
Anyway, but you take a look at the specter of nuclear war, and there's, you know, we think there are people in power that think we can win a nuclear war.
They got to be out of their minds.
That's kind of crazy.
Can anybody win a nuclear war, except the people that are maybe selling nuclear arms, and even them?
Well, I just think what happens to our Ponzi scheme. I mean, the whole deal blows. I think you should have some. I know, and I'll say what Bob Moriarty said, who runs a site called 321 Gold, and he said this. I keep repeating the story. I think he's just a brilliant guy. He runs a site 321 Gold. He talks all about gold miners, gold, big gold component. And he started his article. I'm going to make people really mad by saying this, but cash is going to work really good for a short amount of time when the big one finally hits. It's going to work really good. I don't know if it's 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months. I think it's going to be 3 weeks to 3 months, but it's going to work really well. Somebody else said people aren't going to understand it doesn't mean you shouldn't have gold or silver. Is that people aren't going to rank and file aren't going to understand, you know, a 1964 or earlier dime. You're not going to say, oh, this is worth $2. And they're going to see it. They're going to say it's a dime. Even though it's not, it's 90% silver, it's a 14th of an ounce. But so for a short amount of time, it's going to work really well. I believe the next calamity will come along with it. One of the features is going to be a new currency. I really do.
Yeah, but that's an interesting question.
I don't know how
they're
going to do it. I don't know how they're going to exchange it. I don't know what they're going to do.
Here's, to me, the big question is, will it be another fiat currency that is essentially debt-based and we have it on pink pieces of paper rather than green pieces of paper, or will they come up with a currency that's backed by precious metals like gold and silver?
There's a couple of different scenarios on that. One of them was Jim Rickards, who was on my show, and he says that they'll come up with the special drawing rights at the IMF, the SDR, which is supposedly the cleanest balance sheet. It's another fiat currency. People like Jim Sinclair at JS Mindset, brilliant guy, another brilliant guy, says they won't go from one fiat to another. You'll never get anybody to trust it.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Reports.
When Germany went to, after their fiat currency blew, they went to the Rentenmark, which was based on what? Rents. So it was based on something, not just we'll just print all we want. We're supposed to be tying our currency to the GDP, and it is backed by something. It's backed by oil. And the big story today, I want to just segue into this, is that, you know, this thing with Russia is going to have some downside, and the downside is Russia's going to pull out of the petrodollar scheme. They're going to sell their foreign reserves. They're not going to buy and sell oil in dollars. They won't recycle their dollar-sold oils back in dollars. They are going to get out of it. They're going to sell. And so, and the problem is that, well, it's like the first, you know, it's like the first cow through the gate. The hardest thing about herding cows when I was a farm boy in Missouri was getting the first one through the gate. Well, once the first one goes through the gate, in this case, you know, it's a giant sized 2,000 pound bull, then the rest will follow. And who wants to be in the petrodollar? When everybody is leaving the petrodollar, who wants to be holding the petrodollar bag when everybody starts abandoning it and says, yeah, we'll trade for rubles or gold, or we'll barter for wheat or oil or finished products or whatever? I mean,
and it's no longer being saved. It's no longer being saved as a world reserve currency. It's not. It's recognized as a means of transacting, perhaps, but not as a way to save your money. Now, for the moment, it is, because we see evidence of deflation. But let me ask one question before we go further.
And Minter said, "We'll have deflation." I say, "Well, so you're in the deflation camp?" He goes, "No." So you say, "Are you the inflation and deflation?" And I wrote in my piece, the answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, we'll have deflation, but after that, no, we won't have deflation. After that, we'll have inflation, big inflation. So deflation first, inflation later. And he's not the only person that said this.
I think it's probable. But here's my point. I want to get back to this one question relative to whether the currency is going to be backed by gold, or if it's going to be a new currency, is going to be another fiat currency, or will it be backed by precious metals like gold or silver? And the question is, could we have a gold-based currency. There are certainly rumors and reports that there may not be any gold left in the United States Treasury. They claim to have almost 8,200 tons of gold, but it may be they only have a fraction of that and maybe hardly any at all. How can you have a gold-based currency if there's no gold left in your national treasury?
Well, therein lies the problem. A lot of nobody knows what's in the Fort Knox. Jim Rickards, who also has worked for the government and CIA, says we wouldn't be that stupid to sell our gold. Other people like John Paul Craig Roberts, who also worked for the government as the assistant secretary for economic policy under the Reagan administration, he invented trickle-down economics, Reaganomics. He says we sold all of our gold. There's no way we'd have to. They wouldn't be doing what they'd have to be doing. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing if they had gold, and they have been selling the gold, and they've sold it all. Other people say, well, they probably sold all the foreign holdings of gold that the Federal Reserve has had, and but they still have our gold. But the answer is who knows. And the other thing is that the gold market is really kind of small. I mean, if you take a look at the market cap of the gold market, it's of all the mining stocks and gold together, I think it equals something a little bit more or less than the market cap of General Electric.
Yeah.
I mean, so the price of gold is going to have to go way up. And some people are also predicting that we'll have a basket of currencies. That's why the SDR may be good. Maybe a good thinking. I don't think it's good. I think we really should back our currency with something. But that's why that some people are partial to the SDR, and that it would be China says, hey, we want a piece of the world reserve currency. We want a basket of currencies. We don't want any more competitive devaluation, and everybody's going to have one currency. It's sickening, but the Bible predicted this, didn't it? Everybody wants to have one currency. Somebody can't, lower. That's what Currency Wars, Jim Rickards' book, was about. And his big quote that it just hits me is that nobody in their wildest dreams would imagine everybody devaluing their currency so they could export their way out of trouble all at the same time. Competitive devaluation. I think
yeah, but there's a certain sense behind it, because what they can do by devaluing their currency, if they all go down at the same time due to inflation, that helps to wipe out the existing debt.
Well,
diminishes
yes.
the inflation, the and if it all happens at the same time, but it's not. The strange thing is the other currencies, the other six currencies in the U.S. dollar index, they're falling while the dollar is going up.
I think they're going to reverse that this year. I think they're going to reverse it. I think, and how they're going to reverse it, and they're going to, and we just had dreadful retail numbers come out.
Yep.
I don't know if I did. Yeah, tell me if I said this to you. My prediction was we're going to have some sort of dislocation in 2014. If you don't remember saying this, don't say you did. And I said, and I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a non-delivery of gold. I don't know if that's a, I don't know what that is. Well, I think, but we're going to have something that takes us into 2015. It'll kick off 2015. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be something. I think that's the dramatic, shocking decline in the price of oil.
Well, and I can't recall that you said that particularly, but there are a lot of people that have been saying something similar. I think it was Andy Hoffman. Maybe it was Andy Hoffman, but he was making comments that we're on. No, it was Holter, Bill Holter. You've interviewed him a time or two.
Yes,
and maybe that's where I even heard it on one of your interviews, where he's saying something happened, he thought, back on a Friday about 2 weeks ago now. And he was saying something had to happen because there was such a dramatic price swing in gold and some other investment vehicles. He thinks something broke on that day, and he couldn't say what it was. He said, I don't know what it is, but I think something's broke. We are at a point where a lot of us, we can't quite identify what it is.
I think something has
happened or is about to happen.
The banks, they've got all this leverage, certainly are in trouble. That was a dislocation. The dislocation was, I think, that all this fracking industry and all this easy money, people had unlimited capital. They could make risky bets. They didn't have to go into it, wade into it slowly. The cost of money is diddly squat. And what happened was that all of a sudden now half of the projects in North Dakota are underwater. Oil companies are laying, oil companies, you name it, Suncor, big oil companies, a Schlumberger, you know, are laying off people like crazy. They're stopping drilling. They're stopping, looking for oil. They are just, the oil industry is coming to, you know, at least the exploration is coming to a halt. Yeah. The shale industry, you can't make money at 40. And one of the things Nenner said, I said, do you think this is the bottom? He says, well, if you look at it on a chart, he didn't comment whether it was manipulated or not. Some people think it is, like Greg Mannarino, for example, who's a smart guy. Nobody's right all the time, but Mannarino's right a lot. But he says, but Nenner and Mannarino say the same thing about the chart, is that the chart is going straight down. I mean, you had a 50-60% decline in the price of oil. We went from 106.7 in July, June, to 43. And Nenner says that if you look at the chart, it's going straight down. And he says it's hard to pick a bottom when you see a chart like this. When you see a chart going straight down, that's what Wall Street says, catching a falling knife. I mean, you know, you're trying to catch a, you don't know where the bottom is.
I think what happened
here is they're not made in a V, they're formed. And so I don't know if we're at a bottom. I don't know if we're going to get a little pop back up. I mean, we just got one today with Russia saying we're going to sell a bunch of, you know, $88 billion in dollar reserves, and we have another $500 billion sovereign wealth fund. We're going to prop up the euro. Excuse me, we're going to prop up the ruble. And they've already raised their interest rates to 17%. Imagine that. I mean, one day you come out, we're going to raise interest rates 6.5% to 17%. Boom. I mean, we can't even raise interest rates 0.25%.
Yeah,
we can't cut back or raise taxes on $85 billion. I don't think we ought to be raising taxes now. And going back even to Roman times, whenever you raise taxes, the paradoxical result was a decrease in
tax revenue.
In revenues to the state.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Going back to Roman times.
But it's still one of those things where
that.
New math is teaching us we can still defy history, mathematics, common sense. We people in positions of power can make it happen if they have sufficient will to make it happen. You mentioned the manipulation with the price of oil, and some people believe it's false due to manipulation. The price of everything. Yeah, we see it in gold, we see it across. But I think what's happened, I would agree that the price of oil started falling due to manipulation, but I think they've lost control of it. I think it continued. Once it got started, it was like that avalanche metaphor that a lot of people use. All right, we finally got the one snowflake. It started the snow moving, and now all of a sudden, how do we stop it? I'm not sure they have control.
I think there's supply-demand concerns. There is, just because the economy's slowing down. You can't discount that. But I think that once they got the direction going, they could amplify the direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if you take a look at, I had Chris Powell on from Getta. And, you know, he's a reporter by trade. And like I am, and so he was saying, listen, you know, one of the most shocking things was listed in the CME Group's 10K, and it used to be the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Now it's the CME Group because they handle COMEX, they handle Forex, they handle, you know, all kinds of commodities, currencies, physical assets, gold and silver. So they have a group of basket of, you know, everything tangible, right? And he says in their 10K in last year, they listed, this is in 2013, they listed volume discounts to central banks. And he said that, they say that it's liquidity, but that's the liquidity in terms of the size of the Atlantic Ocean. It's liquidity in terms of they can create all the money they want to price commodities any way they'd like to price them. And you think about that. If you're printing money, think of the big picture now. If you're printing crazy amounts of money and you don't want people to think we got inflation, wouldn't you like to cap the price of, well, everything?
If you
can. They're doing it, I think. Well, listen, they're given volume. We know the central banks are trading in all of the CME platforms.
Well, let's talk more about that when we return from some commercials. We'll talk about what the central banks are doing with the CME platforms. I'm here with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned. We will be back on Financial Survival.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. You really ought to check out Greg's website, USAWatchdog.com, because he has some fantastic interviews with a large variety, significant variety of people who are trying to express the truth and not just go along with what's politically correct. He has some wonderful interviews. USAWatchdog.com and Greg Hunter, and when we broke for commercials, you were talking about the relationship between central banks and the CME trading platforms. You want to amplify that, Greg?
Well, do I know exactly what they're doing and how they're manipulating it? No.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, CME is saying that they are giving volume discounts to central banks. And the big story is, why in the heck isn't ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, aren't they saying, hey, where are you at? Central banks have a trading in the commodities market? Why? Why?
Manipulate the price.
Just pretend it doesn't happen. We'll just pretend we're going to be pretend. Oh, did you hear about the new iPad? Did you hear about the new Apple 6 phone? Hey, did you hear about the new Uber thing? It's $40 billion. Stupid. It's stupid.
Well, we are being diverted from seeing the
information.
We are being diverted from seeing the truth. What do you suppose
the truth is
they're trying to conceal?
Listen, there was no ever attempt in fixing it, and this is what should have happened in 2008, and this is what wasn't allowed to happen. Here's the big people, well, it didn't happen, and you know the crisis you're talking about, it happened. There's crisis happened, and that's why a lot of big-name people that manage lots of money missed this, because nobody in their wildest dreams, I've said this before, I'll say it again, it's pretty damn clear now. Nobody in their wildest dreams that people thought that they would go to the criminal extent they would go to,
yeah,
and the government would turn a blind eye to it. The whole Bernie Madoff thing. Yeah. Let's just talk about that. Story after story after story in USA Today about Bernie Madoff. But one of the big business relationships with Gannett, which owns USA Today, is J.P. Morgan. Not very much on J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
J.P. Morgan paid a fine, reportedly $2.6 billion in fines and restitutions. This was reportedly to avoid criminal charges. Why? Why do these schlubs go to jail for 2, 5, 6, 7, Bernie Madoff for life, when the people that helped facilitate it, who paid a $2.6 billion fines and restitutions, hey, that was paid by shareholders, incidentally, that none of these people at the top of J.P. Morgan, which there's plenty of reports and evidence that show they knew about it for years, and it's just absolutely outrageous. Why isn't USA Today all over that? Why isn't the Washington Post all over that? That's
the evidence is that justice is for sale in this country, and if you get enough money, you're above the law.
They admitted they paid to avoid criminal charges.
Yeah. Suppose you could shoot someone and pay a fine, and well, all right, we'll forget that.
Shareholders pay the fine. They don't pay the fine. They don't even pay the fine.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody pays the fine.
The shareholders.
Yep.
So it's
not the people who are actually liable, criminally liable. They just skate as long as they can get some others to pay the fine.
It was reported. I want to be careful about this, but I want to say what was reported. It was reported they paid fines and restitutions to avoid criminal prosecution. Now, I bet you Bernie Madoff would have liked to have paid a fine and restitutions
to avoid
spending the rest of his life in jail. I'll bet you these schlubs that, and I'm not saying these people were good, they're weasels. They're part of a scam, a fraud. I bet you they would have liked to have paid a fine not to spend the next 2, 5, 6, 10 years of their lives when they're in their 60s in jail. And that's the problem. This is the problem, and nobody reports, and this is why the mainstream media, this is why CNBC had its worst year ever.
You know, it's also evidence. People in positions of power, they look at it and they say, look, these guys bought their way out. We can do the same. It's not just a way where some wealthy people beat the rap right now. It encourages other wealthy people to engage in similar kinds of fraud. If they can make a fast buck now, who cares? If we get caught, we'll buy our way out. Justice is for sale in this country, and therefore, as long as that perception is there, people are paying attention, saying, I don't need to be honest, I don't need to be ethical. That's just terrible news for the country. It inevitably causes more of the same kinds of problems that we're complaining about. We were talking about Charles Nenner earlier in the program.
Oh, Nenner is
a prediction that there's a war, a major war every 100 years.
Well, and then he takes a look at, and he, you know, he's shied away from how many billions, you know, it was tens of millions, 27 million just for, you know, Russia. I know millions, 6 million Jews, which helped, well, I think, as part of the war cycle. Then you add in World War One. He looks at World War One and World War Two and the peace between it. Of course, not peaceful when the, you know, Jews were rounded up in concentration camps. That wasn't so peaceful. But if you look at, you know, he just looks at one big war. One and two were one big war. If you add them up, it has to be, you know, tens of millions, if not, you know, a couple hundred million people killed in that war. And if you look at World War Two, you know, you have, you know, tens of millions anyway killed in that war with all the bombings and, you know, you look at the next war. You know, if it's a couple hundred million, I mean, he says that they're amplified, the wars amplify the body counts. And before that, you look at Napoleon. Well, they didn't have hundreds of million, you know, tens of millions of people, if not a couple hundred million people killed in the Napoleonic Wars. But take a look at the next cycle, 100 years later. They're 100-year cycles. Take a look at the next cycle. So you go from Napoleon to the next cycle, and that's, whoa, you know, that's amplified. And, you know, Will Rogers, who says we don't have progress? Every war, we find a new way to kill each other.
Yeah.
Well, so the next time we have a war, what's going to happen there? I mean, are we going to turn Saudi Arabia into a sheet of glass? I mean, what's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, it's ugly, and, you know, you've got to get right
with that. Did he tell you how far back he traced this 100-year cycle?
Oh,
is he back
three
cycles?
3,000 years?
Does it go back 5, 10, 1,000 years? How far does this 100-year cycle?
He went back hundreds of years, I know.
Right.
I want to say he went back 3,000 years.
Did he give you any explanation of why this cycle might exist?
Yeah, it's just a cycle he's identified.
Mm.
And it's pretty hard to refute it.
Well, if the evidence is there, it's like at least they weren't manipulating the data. until recently. So what do you think the chances are that we're going to see a major war
in the near future? Well, if you take a look at, I can tell you this, so you don't have to go hunt it down in Skype, but I got a section on my, and I think this is a big deal, I'm going to talk about it in my weekly news wrap-up, but I give you the preview right now. If you take a look at on my site, and I have a little section called, I'm not trying to plug my site, I'm just telling people
go
get it. If you take a look at people, I just get stuff during the week, and I go, that's interesting. And it says top stories from around the web, and you click on top stories from around the web, and you look down, and story number two and story number three. Story number two, Russia increases combat capabilities in Crimea, sees Ukraine conflict worsening, which I've been saying this for a while. This is not over by a country mile. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. I don't know who shot down the jetliner, although it's pretty suspicious. I really don't know. It's hard to say, here's what happened. It was false flag. That, don't care what it is. That is going to turn into a war. And I think we're going to have global war on a couple of fronts. Now, let me move on. The next story down, third one down, boots on the ground. Remember we were told no boots on the ground, and then Jack Dempsey, yeah, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was saying that, no, he's Jack Dempsey, isn't it? Yes. He said that, if this doesn't work, I think this will work. Of course, he looked at him, he knew he was lying. I think this will work, but, if it doesn't work, we'll have to go to the president. Well, that's what he's doing. They can't have boots on the ground. A lot of this equipment they took out of Afghanistan is going to, Kuwait, and they'll put it there because they don't want to be overrun by ISIS. I mean, they're going to be terrified by these people. And so with a Republican House and Senate, they're probably going to authorize, and we're going to put people in there to try to knock out ISIS. Now, I don't know. I'm very wary about having Barack Hussein Obama, who will not even mention the words Islamic and terrorist in the same sentence. And a lot of this stuff they're getting, I was listening to Fox, and I've seen one Muslim after another saying it's in the Quran. And if you go look it up, a lot of this stuff is in the Quran. Anybody who believes in God the Father and Jesus the Son, is an apostate and should die. And this is not a religion of peace, according to one of the clerics that was on a interview this week. I believe I saw it on Fox. It's not peace; it's submission.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they'll move in as the religion of peace until they are a significant percentage, and all of a sudden you'll find out that your new neighbors are not necessarily as peaceful as you might have thought.
A lot of Muslims are peaceful, but there's so many of them, it doesn't take a big percentage for this to be very, very disruptive globally. I mean, they say the number is 1.6 or 1.7 billion. Let's just say 1.6 billion. If it's 10% who believe, and they're getting this from the Quran, there are passages in the Quran that we don't believe in the same God. We don't. We do not believe in the same God. Anybody who says we do, we don't. I'm sorry. It's in the Quran. We believe in God the Father. If you're a Christian, you believe in Christ, you believe in God the Father. Okay? They don't believe that. They say that God didn't need a son. They didn't need that. And Christ is only a prophet, and much lower than Muhammad, even though Christ came along 600 years before the Muslim religion. But anyway, I'm just saying that's what's in the Quran. I'm talking about a belief system. We have a clash of cultures. That's the big picture. The big picture is a clash of cultures. Now, if it's only a percentage of Muslims, okay, I'm not, but a small percentage is a lot of people.
What is the majority doing to tamp down on the minority that are radical and aggressive?
By not much.
That's the problem.
Just not much.
It's
and
not just a question of the lunatics are doing what they want to do. It's a question of the other people that are allegedly peaceful who have a handle on this aren't doing much to hold them back.
And then you have this thing about what happened in Charlie Hebdo. And, there's all this, they left their IDs in the car. And, well, would they do that? And this looks like a military operation, maybe. But you can't just look at Charlie Hebdo, and you can't just jump to conclusion. They say, they let you go out and go out in a blaze of glory, but they left their IDs and they ran. Well, does anybody think they thought they were going to just waltz out of France after murdering a dozen people? You think they thought they were? No, come on.
Especially if they're shouting, praise Allah, and Allah has been, the Prophet has been avenged, and whatever.
The other point I wanted to make. they left their IDs in the car. Well, wouldn't they, if they, wouldn't they want to get credit for this with their buddies as they were being hunted down, and they could make it last as long as they can, and they would have their faces and names, and they would be taking credit for this? I mean, they had a shootout and they died. But let's just move past that, whether it's a false flag attack or not. I don't know. Listen, those Jews that were killed in that market, was that a false flag? How about those 100-and-something school kids in Pakistan that were murdered? Was that a false, was that caused by Langley and Mossad? How about Boko Haram, and they just killed, butchered 2,000 people, shot them in the back, killed them, shot them in the butchers? Was that a Langley operation? How about all these no-go zones in France and Europe? Is that a Langley
insane
operation?
That's insane. To allow that to happen? Just absolutely insane.
So are there false flags? Yes. But that doesn't paper over the much larger problem. All this violence, France is the third biggest country for Jews, and there's all this violence. We don't have the Jews coming into the Muslim neighborhood. We have the Muslims, some, coming into the Jewish neighborhoods. So, I mean, we have all these no-go zones in the UK and in France. They would just kind of make it go away. This is their usual thing now. This is what they did with Hitler. Let's just ignore it. It's okay. It'll just go away. Well, no. It's not going to go away.
Do you think the Muslims have gone too far? And I don't mean the whole the perception of the Muslims. I know that's not, 100% everybody marching to the beat of the same drummer. But in a sense, do you think the Muslims have gone too far with Charlie Hebdo?
Oh, God, yes, they did. They went crazy time.
Yeah.
And they took credit for it. Now there's all kinds of responses from, countries like Yemen. This is good, and the leaders are weak. This is a huge. It doesn't. All Muslims are not bad. Let me make that perfectly clear. But there's such a large group of Muslims that if you have 10% a crazy time, if you have 1%, it's 1.6 million.
Yeah.
I mean, 10% is 16 million. Are we, is the United States perfect? No, I want to say something else too. And I want to make
you got 15 seconds.
Nowhere in the world can I sit here and criticize a government. You couldn't do this, USA watchdog, Russia watchdog in Russia, and criticize Putin. You couldn't have China watchdog and criticize the leadership there. You couldn't have Muslim watchdog and criticize the Imams. You couldn't do it. You could do that in America. Nobody's all good and nobody's all bad. America's not all bad. There's my 15 seconds.
I agree. Greg, thanks very much. We always appreciate having you on the program. I want to thank all of you folks for listening and invite you to visit usawatchdog.com with Greg Hunter. I'm Alfred Addisk. This is Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Greg Hunter, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Day and pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Money, money, money.